Good morning.
I apologize, but it's a long one. Today's reading's from 1 Corinthians 12 to 31. For just as his body is one and has many members, for all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need for you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work powerful deeds? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the reading.
Thank you, Lynn. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So on my phone, maybe some of you have this too. I have several games that all the experts have promised that if I play these games once a day, they're going to keep my mind sharp. Anybody do those? Anybody do those, right? Well, one, which, yeah, I pay for them. I do. I do. I always buy the premium. But one has a game in it called Connotation. And it's a time thing. And what happens is words pop up on your screen. And if the word has a positive connotation, you swipe right. And if the word has a negative connotation, you swipe it left. And a couple days ago, these were some of the words. Dowdy. No good. No good. Negative. Repulsive. Negative. Laudatory. Positive. Equivocate. Negative. Scrumptious. Positive. Excoriate. Negative. Some are easier than others. But what if, and this was not one of them, but what if the word independence popped up on the screen? Now, maybe right now, with the celebrations that we had yesterday, right away would swipe right. Positive. We all want independence. Everyone has the right to be independent. We should work to be independent. It's a goal of our young people as they grow. It's certainly the goal of people under an oppressive regime. independence. That's a good thing. Swipe right. But yet, is independence always positive? Is it always possible? Is independence ever really possible? True independence? I would say no, and I say that because of Leave It to Beaver. You remember Leave It to Beaver? If you don't remember Leave It to Beaver, then the heat isn't bothering you at all. But I would recommend that you should check out Leave It to Beaver, and especially the episode Beaver Runs Away. Beaver and Larry Mondello, they drilled a hole in the garage door, and Ward Dad was really upset. And he said to Beaver, listen, if you are not going to listen to me, we're going to have a very hard time continuing to live together. And so Beaver, he takes this as his cue to leave. And he puts everything that he's going to need in his pillowcase. And he tells his dad and Wally that he is going away for good. And I just wonder, and you don't have to answer aloud, but have any of you ever felt like the Beave? Maybe you just want to pack everything you can into the suitcase or the pillowcase and start fresh alone somewhere else. And make no mistake, some people need to do that to get away from an abusive situation, from unsafe spaces. There's no other choice but to go and start over. And that wasn't the case for Beaver, though. He didn't realize. He thought that he could make a good start. He was making things better. He was really going. But what he didn't realize, that not everything he would need for his new independent life was able to be put into that pillowcase. Independence wasn't as easy as he thought it would be. And I know that also because I did live in my parents' basement till I was about 30. But the truth is, ask the recent college graduate who needs to move back home with their parents. Independence, it's not just hard, it's impossible. Because the truth is that each one of us is connected. That's the biological truth. That's the chemical truth, the economic truth, the sociological truth, and it's biblical truth. We hear these words of Paul today. We probably heard them many times before. I love the way Eugene Peterson put it. It's exactly the same with Christ, Peterson's The Message says. By means of His one spirit, we all say goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We used to independently call our own shots, but now we've entered into the large and integrated life in which God has the final say in everything. And that's key, because once we start thinking that we are independent, that we, just the eye, can live without the hand, or we, just the foot, can live without the tummy, that we can live without this group of people, that we can live without those people, once we start that, it's a slippery slope, as they say, into thinking that we are independent and able to be independent from God. And there's an old preacher kind of story. You've probably heard it. But today, we'll hear it a little differently. The story of a king who went to see God. And they said to God, listen, our scientists have done it all. Our tech guys are the greatest in the world. And we have no use for anybody outside the kingdom. And I hate to tell you, but now we can make humans. We can create the perfect human, better than the one that you created with the dust. we've been able to make the perfect, the greatest human out of the dust, just like you did, only better. So God, we don't need you anymore here. You're a good guy, but you made some mistakes. And so God, respectful, God listened because he loved this king too, even though he knew he was woefully misguided. And God said, really? Well, I'm glad to hear you're getting along so well. You don't need me for anything? No, no, no. Just being able to make humans out of dust. That was it. We got it. We're good. Thanks for everything. But we can do it. And so God said, you know, I'd like to see that. And he knew how much this king liked competition. And he said, maybe we can have a friendly little competition. We can see which one of us can make the best human out of dust. What do you think? And the king was elated because he loved a good competition. He said, you're on, God. And so God was gathered, and all the tech guys and the AI specialists were gathered. It was promoted all over the media. The kingdom of the greatest people versus God. Who can make the best human out of dust? And everyone tuned in, and the king's people were ready, and God's people were ready. And the announcer teed it up and saying, first, the contestants will create a human being from dust, and the new humans will immediately fight to see which one is the better specimen. And there was a hush, and all eyes were on God and the scientists. And God simply said, okay, now are we going to use my dust or yours? And it is an old story. But what I found most interesting about that story is that I don't think God would say that. I don't think God would be so cheeky. I don't think God would wait until everyone was gathered to embarrass this king, to get the laugh, to throw the zinger. God wouldn't do that. God doesn't need to. I think God would have instead wrapped his arms around this king and the bigwigs and everyone and each of us. When we think we can do it without each other or without God. And I think instead God would say, don't worry about doing this on your own. Depend on each other. Depend on me. We've got this. I've got all of you. May it be so.